I wonder if you can remember the tune you played for me a couple weeks ago that you said Clarence played on the banjo.
Oh, I don't know if I can think of that or not.
I know, I'm pretty sure it was in G.
Well, we played the Carillon Swing. Mm-hmm. That's a good one to anybody last night. That's a good one to step. Calhoun Swing.
Calhoun Swing?
Calhoun Swing.
No, but
I'll get geared up. I've got fun geared up down here. Ready. Ready to go. Oh, granny really don't bite no child. Let's play my pretty little miss. Let's play pretty little miss. This is an old Dave making song. Some old ones I learned when I was a kid. Cold frost this morning. I knowed that never since I could walk. Sounds pretty good since you fixed it, Bob. Good fiddle.
Did your dad work his feet when he played like you do?
No, I don't think so. He set his feet out like that. He patted one. I don't know where I picked that up from. I reckon just playing hard and type of thing.
Was it Tom Dillon who backstepped when he played?
Oh yeah, he used two bows. He had them fastened together. And I'd build a platform, you know, for a dance at the fair or Sutton, West Virginia. So he had them there, and he come over to where was that, and he said, "You mind if I play?" And I said, "No, I don't mind if he played." So he just got out there and went to playing and dancing. And he could really knock her while he played. He'd just do the back step, and he was good at it. He put on a pretty good show.
You think you could remember the Charleston Girls?
I ain't in tune for the Charleston Girls. I've got one down there. It is. When I have money, I spend it free, and the Charleston Girls is the gals for me.
Okay.
Let me play Piney Mountain.
Yeah.
And then we'll switch around. We might play Young Dan Tucker and all that stuff. Charming Betsy, you know Charming Betsy. She come around the mountain. Charming Betsy come around the mountain corally. I don't know it anymore.
Thank you.
2-1, wasn't it?
Can you tell us about what it was like when you first started playing fiddle and how you happened to pick it up and all?
I could tell you. I've told a lot. I'm getting used to it, though. I was about 9 or 10 years old, I guess. And Dad kept his fiddle hid away in a dresser drawer. He didn't want nobody to touch it but him. Afraid to get broke, because he cleared 2 acres of ground in the woods for the fiddle. Got it ready for a fella to burn, you know. So I sneaked it out of his dresser door one day when everybody was out of the house, and I could play one tune. I just one I wanted to learn. That was all. So I fooled with it a little bit, and reckoned I seen I could play it till I could tell what I was doing. And I'd done that a time or two while everybody'd be out and going. So one evening, Mother was sitting around when we was at, and I said to her, I said, I'd like to get Dad's fiddle and play a little, try to play. She said, Bob would kill me if I let you have that fiddle. I said, well, I'll be careful with it. I said, I can play one a little bit. So she agreed. And time or two after that, I'd done the same thing, and I got so I'd get over it pretty good, you know. One evening, he was a-playing, and he played the same tune, and he was in a good humor that evening. So Mother said to him, she said, Melvin can play that tune. He said, what? Now, I was excited bad right there, but he was pretty strict on us lads, and he didn't allow no foolishness out of us. He patted his foot, and we knew to go to the door. That's right. So he just jibber-jobbed the fiddle over to me. Now, I was really scared, but I played it till he could tell what I was doing. So he helped me to learn. That's the way I learned from that time on.
And that's the West Virginia Suzuki method.
Believe it or not.
Well, Melvin, you didn't have to go out and clear 2 acres for yours, did you?
No, he gave it to me. When he got another fiddle later in the years, and he said, now, he said, you're playing pretty good. And he said, which one of them fiddles do you want? Well, I said, I'll take the one we've had for a long time, because I said, it speaks out well. It's a copy of the Stradivarius. And I said, it plays with anything. He said, that's your choice. So I took it. I've got it at home. I had it out to Buckhound. The fellow worked on it a couple of weeks ago, and Jerry brought it down to me. It sounds good. It's so been in the family over 100 years. It's nice fiddle. It's got a crack in it there for something that's happened to it years ago. But I sent it to Parkersburg, and they took it apart and repaired it underneath. You can't see it, but the crack's still there.
That's a pretty fiddle you've got right there.
That, well, let me tell you about that fiddle. I went to buy that fiddle, a fellow wanted $1,000 for it. And I said, no, I'll never give that for it. Well, he said, it retails. It wholesales for $1,800, and it retails for $2,400. And he said, it ain't hurt a bit. He said, a fellow had it, and he died, and his son didn't want to play, and he said, I bought it in New York. He said, I won't take less than $1,000. Well, I went back up a time or two, and he never got no sale for it. I said, what would you take for that fiddle? He came down to $850, and that's all he'd come. Now, I said, I've got 2 fiddles down there I bought off of you. I'll give him $120 apiece, I think, or something like that. And I said, I'll trade you them 2 fiddles, and I've got $400 here, and I got out of two horses for them fiddles. No, he said he won't do it. So I had to give him $200 and the price of two horses and two fiddles for that. But it's a nice one. It's easy played, and it speaks out well.
Well, Melvin, that first tune that you ever learned was actually it's a jig. I don't know whether you realize that
or not.
Well,
it's jig or whatever.
Yeah, and you call it Bonaparte's Retreat.
Yeah, my dad played it that way. There's two ways of playing it, Bonaparte's Retreat. I can play it both ways. But anyhow, this is one I want to learn. And this old lady out of New York, out of Washington, nothing but do her, but I play that out there when I went on the stage. After it was over, I said, well, I'd have never played that. Well, she said, why didn't you change it? Charles Crowell said, now, Melvin, you pick, take your choice. But she had told me, she wanted me to play that tune. So I'll play it here. I ain't before the quite as big audience there was there, but anyhow. Now, this is the way Dad played it. Now, I wanted to learn this, and I just like this high part. And that's the only tune I wanted to learn to play. But you see what happened. About that high part. Bonaparte's Retreat. Now, there's another way of playing it. Just trying to turn that A fiddle. Now I can play Walk Chalk Chicken with a necktie on.
There you go.
I played that one time and we got all mixed up on and I said, well, we'll kill the chicken.
Thank you.
know him. I know two or three Jimmy Johnsons. You want me to play Jimmy Johnson? All right, let's see what we can do with it. On and I get a little older, it's a little harder for me to hold a fiddle up and play a lot of them where you have to play it on a long basis. It gets away from me like that. Arthritis here and arthritis there and a hurt there and a bang here.
Melvin, you learned some tunes when you were young from a Civil War veteran who said he played them in the Union Army for them to march to.
Yeah.
Why don't you play us one of those?
Well, I'll play old Dan Tucker. Yeah, he played that in front of the march, too. And this is, he was a roughshod fiddler. I am, too, but not like he was. Now, he played up for the boys to march to, see. About a mile away from us, and the old feller his turkeys would come up to our house and they'd try to claim ours and everybody else's. But he was in the Army, and he played a lot of the Mobile War tunes, you know. He played and marched with the soldiers and played for them. I don't know, I remember a lot of hearing them, but I forgot so many of them that he played. But he played a lot of them that they marched right to while he was playing. I'm going to play The Unclouded Day. Now They Tell Me of a Home. That's a place. I looked out as we were coming up here, and I looked at the pretty timber, how beautiful it was. Now it's prettier back that way than it is up this way. About half the leaves are going up here, and there ain't none hardly going back our way. And I just wondered how beautiful heaven would be. These are the greatest things that can happen to us. Just meditate upon it, really. I think of it a lot. Because the other evening, the sun was going down, and up our home, there's a big cove back of our home there, and a lot of poplar timber up in there. And it just glowed up in there. Really, it is so beautiful. And I called them. My wife, she went out on a wheelchair, and she looked back in there. It's so beautiful. The sun was going down, and the moon was coming up, so it was really pretty. So. Now, this is a place we're going to aim to go. They tell me of a home. When my friend's house gone, and they tell me of a lot of good things. Somebody can sing that. Now, Grafton can sing it. One here that's called A Heaven's Jubilee, and Jerry likes this because it's got an odd change in it. I'll play it. I play it on the D fiddle most of the time, but I can play it here.